Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Well, thank you very much. I think we will take it away. Welcome, everybody. Tim Matthews here, and welcome to Golf Talk America. Big show coming your way. We're talking about latest stop on the PGA Tour, the Farmers Insurance Open at beautiful Torrey Pines Golf Course in the San Diego area, both the North and the South Course, going at it for the first few rounds. And remember, this is a tournament. The reason we're talking about it, and we're coming to you on a Thursday, we're taping this show for the podcast, is because they have changed up the schedule for this particular tournament to not coincide with the NFL playoffs. I guess it gives credence to how powerful the NFL is that they actually go Wednesday to Saturday for the Farmers so that they don't run into Sunday's NFC, AFC conference championship games in the NFL. And probably a good thing, because certainly would diminish their viewership on TV and probably even attendance in person. So Wednesday through Saturday, first rounds are already over. Second round getting started here at the Torrey Pines at the Farmers Insurance Open. We'll talk about that with Steve Johnson, who grew up in that area, grew up watching, going to the Farmers Insurance Open, which at the time was called something else. I can't remember what, but Steve will tell us what that is. So Steve will join us here in a little bit. He's currently the director of instruction at Vaquero Golf Club in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and previously 35 years partnership with Hank Haney in all kinds of ventures that he and Hank were involved in. So we'll talk with Steve in a little bit. Also in the Nashville studios, Frank Bassett.
Yo.
I think coming out of a thaw. I don't know exactly. What kind of weather hit you, Frank, in Nashville? How you doing?
Yeah, there's no thaw yet, but should be today. We should get up to a blisteringly hot 42 degrees here in Nashville.
Ooh.
Yeah, really.
Break out the sunscreen.
Yeah, really. No kidding. I'm thinking about jumping in the pool. I mean, really.
Did you get any of the wintry weather or just cold?
Well, we got a little bit of winter weather, but it's cold. Yeah. I mean, our greens have been covered at Bluegrass for weeks, it seems. It's cart path only all the time because, you know, the thaw and then the freeze, then it thaws out and then it gets wet and sloppy.
Messes up the fairways.
Messes up the fairways. And, you know, me and cart path only, I'm like, okay, I'll men's bar only.
I was going to say 19th hole only.
Yes, sir. That's it, baby. So. That is it. Yeah, anyway, hey, I got to tell you something. Interestingly enough, before we get really deep into the show, our good friend Danny Medina called me this morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Danny was the director of golf for Omni Hotels and Resorts for a long time, and he was based out of the Tucson National Golf Club. We know Danny.
Correct.
You know Danny. He's been with us a long time. Good
yep.
friend. Looks like Andy Garcia when he was young. I mean, he really does. All the girls.
Yeah.
Just pick the girls off of him, you know, in the old days. He's very married to a very lovely woman, has children, and great guy. But he is with Tiger Woods Company now.
Is that right?
They brought him in as the first person they hired to be one of their big reps in the biggest area they have. He also has Vegas, so he has Shadow Creek.
in Arizona, Nevada area, area up there.
So he's doing that.
You're talking about Tiger's apparel company.
Tiger's apparel line, Sunday Red.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we had a long conversation this morning, and so we'll see how he does.
Let's get him on sometime.
Yeah, we will. We'll get him on the show and talk about it. Who knows?
So he's out of the hotel hospitality business?
He is. Well, he'd gone to the PGA of America and worked for their foundation for a period of time because he'd done that for a long time. And, so he left Omni on great terms. I mean, you know, he's still great friends with all the big honchos at Omni, but he wanted to do something a little different, did the foundation and loved that, did it a couple of years. That's tough work, you know, you're begging for money constantly to grow a foundation. And then they came to him because Danny's, you know, relationships, and this is a small world in the golf world.
Sure.
So anyway, he made the change. It took him 4 months to do it, and he wanted to make sure and give them proper notice. You know, Danny's just a first-class individual. And
he is now with
Tiger Woods Company. So we'll see if we're going to get some get an invite down to Palm Beach to the Tuesday night events, you know.
Well, we'll see too that you know, maybe we could use a Golf Talk America apparel sponsor.
We could.
And maybe Sunday Red could
You know, I can't because of PXG, but I'll wear PXG, but you could wear Sunday Red.
I could wear Sunday Red.
Yeah.
We could promote them. We could help them out.
We'll help them out. No
matter
what.
Shirts.
It's our friend
Danny. Everything.
Yeah.
So and Danny used to be with when you would go out, and I never went, and I was hoping to, but we never did, or I never did, but go out to the Color Guard tournament for the Champions Tour.
Tucson
and
National.
Danny, and Danny would be out there all the time, so you'd run into him there. Is that where you actually met Danny originally?
It is.
That tournament?
It is. I'll tell you how I met Danny. This is a great story. The first time I went out there years ago, we set up in the lobby there, that beautiful resort, Nomni Hotel Resort there, Tucson National. And the stage was set up and the backdrop and the speakers and all that getting ready to do the show. And this marketing person had been working with me, Elizabeth. And so she came out and you know, I don't know, Jimmy Choo shoes, you know, and couture dress and, you know, her folder with notes. And Mr. Bassett, if there's anything you need whatsoever, my name is Elizabeth Yada, her last name. And I'll be happy to help you, whatever you need. All you have to do, here's my personal cell, day or night, just call me. That's the way I was treated out there. So when Danny and I met, we sat down, we talked for about an hour, and then we sat down on the set when we were going to do the show, and she came by and said, everything, you guys got everything? And I said, absolutely, thank you so much, Elizabeth. He said, yeah, thanks, Elizabeth, and she walks away. I said, Danny, who in the world is that hot chick? And he said, that would be my fiance.
There you go. I saw it coming that way.
Hell yeah. Yep. So I just stepped into it, and we still tell that story at the Masters every year on our son. We have a Sunday night dinner before the Masters every year, and we all sit there and have a drink and laugh about that story.
Are they anyway, still married?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have a child. They're doing great. So, Danny, best of luck to you, buddy, and Sunday Red. We want to see some of the product and see what it looks like. It looks pretty good
from
what I've
seen. We'll talk more to him. That'd be neat.
Have you on the show? Talk about it. So, yeah.
So, you mentioned that you got some wintry weather, and we saw how bizarre the weather was for a lot of parts of the country that play golf year-round don't really think about, the winter a little bit, it'd take off a week here and there, but no big deal. But all along the Gulf Shore, just amazing how literally on the shore of the sand of the shore of the Gulf from Alabama, Texas,
the Redneck Riviera is what we call it down there.
Covered in snow. Yeah. Covered in snow.
Just ice and snow.
I'm kind of curious what that might do to some of those Houston golf courses and different golf courses that certainly don't expect that and don't really cover up anything.
All the way from Houston. You're right. Houston all the way across.
Oh, Houston got
Panhandle.
3 inches?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was down in Galveston. I mean, it was on the coast of Texas with snow on the beaches of
snowball
Galveston.
Snowball fights in New Orleans in the quarter. Yep.
And then they went up to Charleston.
And our friends down there, in the Panhandle, are sending me pictures of their houses and 3 or 4 or 5 inches of snow in Destin and Panama
Isn't
City.
That crazy?
Pensacola. Jeez.
Yeah.
So
imagine the people that went there from, you know, Minnesota and Chicago and Detroit and wherever to get away, you know, for a little, if they had some vacation and let's go in January where it's nice and warm. They show up in Pensacola or any of these places, Jacksonville. And they're like, are you kidding me? It's warmer in Minneapolis than it is down here.
It snowed in Orlando, Florida. They had ice and snow in Orlando this week. Now, this is the PGA merchandise show this week, which we're usually at every year. But I had to withdraw from it this year because, again, I can't fly right now because of the retina surgery and stuff I'm going through.
Right.
So I had to.
But they had some snow and ice there, huh?
Yeah. So I'm glad I'm not there.
Wow.
I'm thrilled. I was bummed that I wasn't there. And then I saw the weather and went, oh my God, thank you, Lord.
Well, the bigger picture I'm curious about, and that's why I mentioned golf courses, but I'm curious about Myrtle Beach and Charleston area, which are big, big golf meccas.
Yes.
Got a lot of snow. They got a few inches, right? Yeah. Which they never do get. So that's one thing. Like, what is that going to maybe do for some of those golf resorts that rely on people coming in from all over the country, all over the world to play golf there? And what about our friends at Augusta? You think Augusta had to have gotten hit, don't you think?
Well, Augusta got hit with the tornadoes and all that also earlier in the year. But I can tell you
ice and snow.
Well, that's not going to hurt Augusta. They'll bring in Jesus and he'll bless it and it'll be over. Jesus has a lifetime membership at Augusta, trust me.
They can outspend the weather?
They can outspend the federal government. Yes, they can. Yeah.
Okay. Because they did lose some trees. Remember, they had a nice storm, was it 10 years ago or whenever it might have been? They had a big ice storm.
Lost some of the magnolias on Magnolia Lane.
And killed a lot of trees, which they had to replace. And I get that they can. But if I'm not mistaken, I think they had the ice storm. It was like in late February or something when they had it a few years ago that they were like, okay, well, the golf tournament is in like 6 weeks.
They can
and we have
them.
Ice all over the golf course.
Full size.
And they had to turn the heaters on. Heat the entire golf course. They had drones come in with heaters and a drone to heat everything up,
among other things. Yeah, they have no problem with funding for what they need to do.
They figure out whatever they had. I think they almost it's almost like those investment companies that they have to spend money, right? It's like if we don't spend money, or a government agency, if we don't spend the $4 million we had for this, then we don't get it next year, so we have to spend it on whatever. I think Augusta almost has that kind of a budget that every year they look and they go, okay, we got about $40 million. What do we got to do? Let's see. Do we need to put more leaves on trees? Can we get some leaves to put? I mean, they think of things, because you and I always hear about what they did over the off season of Augusta, and you're like, how do you improve that place? And yet they find a way to spend millions more every year.
We're going to buy more squirrel traps. We're not going to go down that story. We're just not going to do it. Yeah. No.
They buy like 5 yards of property on the adjoining property. Well, for 5 yards, how much you guys want for that 5 yards?
$2 million? Okay.
And we're going to want a couple million for that.
Yeah.
It's a parking spot. You want a parking spot? Okay.
There's still a holdout, an old couple. There's still a holdout out there off of Berkman. They're still holding out. Yeah.
Won't sell their home.
They like it. So anyway, so it's welcome to 2025. You know, we've already done a show, but we're back. We took kind of a little liberty with the sparsity of shows during the last quarter of 24 for a lot of different reasons.
You had to get your vision straight, which
I couldn't see.
Not to get too personal with you, but is it doing better?
Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. Okay. It's going to take time, but we're getting there. Yeah. So I had some health scares in 2024, and you know, falling downstairs and things like that, and all sorts of fun. And I was sober. That's the problem.
I've been used to falling, but
I mean, you know, don't walk down wood stairs with socks on. Okay, just do it. That's
the worst, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I can tell you. I have Das Boot right here in the office. I'm gonna have it bronzed, as much as they charge me for it. Anyway, so back to golf. It's the Farmers, baby. I mean, we're back. We're rolling. It's going. Liv is about to kick off and do some things. So we're gonna have a lot of golf to talk about this year.
Yep.
And a lot of fun guests, including one Steve Johnson coming up here in a couple of minutes. So that'll be fun.
Well, and since you mentioned Liv, you know, the word is that they're still working, right? And everybody kind of thinks this is, speaking to the government, this is almost a government agency, that how slow the wheels move of the merger, if you will,
slower
partnership. But they say, and I say they, like Rory and Tiger have been commenting in the last few months about where things are at, and they're both saying, well, we're on the committee, and we're talking, and we're listening, and we think we can get something. But they've been saying that for 2 years now, Frank, and I don't know if and what bothers me, and it for the most part, it's like, hey, do whatever you're going to do, and you know, we'll watch, not watch, whatever you want to do. But what bothers me about it is I want to see the DeChambeaus and Koepkas and all the top players and Dustin. I want to see those guys more than we see them now, which Liv, for everything they've accomplished, still does not have a great TV package that you can just flip on NBC or whatever and watch them. So that's a tougher thing to watch. But I want to see tournaments, not just the majors, but tournaments where those guys are all competing against each other. That's what we all want, right, as golf fans.
Yeah.
The best against the best as many times as we can, which the signature events on the PGA Tour are all about, that you see Scotty and Justin and all the big-name guys are playing. But I want those guys too. And it's I know the Liv Tour is not – it's not 50 deep with those guys, but it's a dozen deep with guys that I want to see. I want to see Cam Smith. And that's what bothers me, is you just don't see those guys like you want to. And that just, it hurts the golf fan, right? Whether it's in person or on TV, to not be able to see an NBA game and not see Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and the best players playing against each other, you know?
Are they? Basketball?
Pardon me?
Basketball?
I was making an analogy.
Basketball? You know how much I love basketball, right?
You know what I'm saying?
You're exactly
NFL,
right.
You want to see the
big names,
the big names. You know, I mean, it's kind of what we're all, you know, seeing.
Let me throw my body out vertically, horizontally, and throw a touchdown pass to Kelsey. Yeah, watch this. Boom.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Kinda
the
crazy,
Super Bowl to me is going to be the Bills and the Chiefs. That to me, that's the Super Bowl. I mean,
probably. I mean, Philadelphia is, you know, I hate Philadelphia. God knows I hate Philadelphia.
Me
but,
too.
You know, we had voice of PGA Tour, Mr. Washington Commanders man, you know, on with us. And, boy, he's got to be thrilled to death, right? His team's
in the
NFC. Oh, my
God. He's going crazy.
Yeah.
Earl's going nuts. Yeah. He's bought every piece of Washington paraphernalia. He's been a Commanders.
He's been a Commanders slash Redskins fan his entire life, yep. And he's lived a few years. So it goes way, way back. And he, every time we talk to him, we'd get the grumpy old man Joe Gibbs.
Get off my lawn.
And now look at him sitting in the NFC Championship game. So
yeah, it's going to be big.
Yep.
I'd love to see Washington win that game. I really would.
Yeah, I would too. Because I don't like either one of them, but I dislike Philadelphia more.
Yeah, I understand.
It's hard to like Philadelphia.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah.
There you go.
If you're anything but an Eagles fan, all you do is
fly,
just go to
Eagle,
one game.
Fly.
One game, and right, you'll right be hating that, them like I hate
right
them.
Through that windmill offshore that Trump shut
Eagles
down.
Eagles fans are the worst.
They are.
Somebody's listening to Philadelphia now turning us off, and I'm sorry, but I've been to
not.
Enough games.
The fans aren't the worst. They're all people. They're all people. They're all God's
the
children.
The worst, Frank.
God's
the
wonderful
worst.
Children.
If you had to write the wonderful children. Yeah. And even the kids are F-bombing.
I know it.
From the fifth row.
The mothers, the grandmothers are.
They are.
Granny's like up there cussing like a sailor.
They teach them young. That's
throwing her Gilby's gin bottle off the second tier.
Yeah. Good God.
I hit him. Right. I got him.
Let's take a quick break. We got, as we said, Steve Johnson in the on-deck circle. Waiting to come on with us, and he'll talk to us about Farmers Insurance as a kid. I'd like to hear a little stories of Steve sneaking on the South Course there to watch Pretty Couples or whoever playing God Tiger
Walter Hagen,
Tiger, probably Jack and those
Walter,
guys
yeah.
back in the day. Yeah, Walter Steve, Hagen, Hagen and those guys. When Steve was young.
When Steve was young. Okay,
so we'll take a break and come back with Steve Johnson. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and Franklin. I'll be back right after this. And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett coming to you on this, depending on where you are in the country, chilly.
Cold.
Kind of day, I think almost everywhere, except for maybe parts of California, Arizona. My brother's out in Phoenix area, so it's not too bad out there. But east of the Rockies, pretty much north to south, it's been pretty cold. And that affects golf in a lot of ways, and we're going to talk to our guest about that and a lot of other subjects. He joins us now. Steve Johnson, Director of Instruction at Vaquero Golf Club in beautiful Westlake, Tarrant County, north of Fort Worth, but in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And Steve joins us now. How you doing, Stevie Ray?
Doing good, guys. And I've got my long jacket on today. It's cold still.
Yeah. Do people get in instruction? I mean, do you actually work when it's a certain temperature? Does it have to get over 40 degrees or anything before anybody comes out for some lessons?
Well, a lot of the people that I help now, I just help the folks at the club, and they're traveling all times of the year. So a lot of them are traveling to Mexico, Palm Springs, warmer climates. So yeah, believe it or not, I had six lessons yesterday.
Whoa,
and it
okay.
was freezing. I mean, yeah, it was cold.
Yeah.
About the same today. So, I mean, I'm not complaining.
No,
I'm not complaining because typically, when they shut golf courses down, it hurts a lot of people. It doesn't only hurt the bottom line revenues, but it hurts guys that have hourly, they get paid by the hour. Food and beverage service, a lot of the guys that work in the shop, teachers golf and all that, this is the time of the year. A lot of guys are thankful for this time of the year because they get a chance to re-energize. But I'm thankful that it stays busy.
Well, because you get some money for your lessons, but you've got like a $1 million base salary, right? And then you just make
and
money
$7.50
right?
an hour for the lessons,
yeah.
isn't it?
Tim. So I had a guy ask me one time, who makes more, the golf teacher or the caddy? I hope the caddy makes more because the golf teacher doesn't make that much.
But does the weather affect
the caddy makes more? What's that?
Does the weather affect the golf course? I mean, we're talking about the snow, and you saw it too. All the snow from the Gulf Coast and Houston all the way across. Do those golf courses that are normally thriving in Pensacola and all over, even Houston and down in the Gulf, all over in Florida, is it gonna hurt their golf course for the next few weeks, months?
Even down in Florida, a lot of the courses overseed, and if they don't, the Bermuda will take a little bit of a hit. It may go into like a dormant state, but then when it gets sunny again, It'll pop right back. In this part of the country, I'm in Dallas, Texas. In this part of the country, most of the golf courses have their greens covered right now. They've been covered for at least 2 weeks. The Carroll Club was recently renovated by Andrew Green, a very famous architect. And below the greens, they put the Subair, which is an air cooling and heating system. And also they put the hydronics, which controls the soil temperature. So when we had a lot of snow, the snow was covering the fairways and the rough and the bunkers, but the greens, there wasn't a speck of snow on those greens because they can control the soil temperature and that the snow just melts away.
Oh, nice. Okay. But if you don't
have
that,
course is still closed. The course is still closed, but you at least you can see the nice greens.
Yeah. the greens look good. Hey, we were talking about the PGA Tour, the Farmers Insurance Open taking place this week and starting on Wednesday because they don't want to conflict with the NFL playoffs, so they go Wednesday and wrap it up on Saturday.
They want viewership.
That's your backyard right there. And I was trying to think of who the sponsor was or the name of the
original
course,
tournament.
The tournament was
Farmers.
Back then. But it was always Farmers, even back when you were a kid?
Oh, no. The Andy Williams San Diego Open.
Okay.
You know what? I forget who the main sponsor was on that.
Was it Amana?
You know what?
It was so long ago. Andy Williams. That's when
so
all the celebrities.
Oh yeah.
And that's when a lot of kids. Did you go? Did you go and watch as a fan?
Oh yeah. I used to go and watch.
Jump a fence.
The golf course is not even close to what it is now. I mean, with the irrigation and the types of grasses and all that, the course is a lot more visually appealing, and it's much tougher because they can grow that rough as high as they want it. They can get the greens as fast and as slick as they want, as firm. It's always a course, depending on the weather. It could either be the lowest cut or the highest cut. you know, they redesigned the North course. They played both of those courses until the weekend. And the North course used to be just pretty much a layup gimme, but I think it's a little bit tougher, still easier than the South course, but gosh darn, what Auberg shot 9 under yesterday. So I'm sure he was on the North course. Yeah.
He was on the North course.
Those guys are just so dang good. The only thing is, guys, is that the golf is great, but you watch the TV and I can't recognize almost any of those guys.
Well, we talked about Frank and I were talking about that in the leaderboard.
It has changed a ton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's the leaderboard. You talked about Ludvig Åberg, and a lot of people know him, Ryder Cupper, stud player, young player. But after that, you're looking at Danny Walker, Hayden Springer, Lanto Griffin.
Well, Lanto,
Aldrich,
we know.
Poltgeiter.
Poltergeist? Who is that?
Poltergeist. K.H. Lee, John Pack, Noah Goodwin, former SMU golfer. On and on.
You know him.
Aaron Badley. And that's the leaderboard. I mean, those guys are playing well. You go down to the other end, and it's, you know, Sam Stevens and Kevin Yu, Grayson Sigg. So to that point, Steve, it's not a signature event, even though it's a kind of a beautiful setting, and Åberg says it's his favorite place to be. He loves San Diego. He loves playing this tournament. Obviously, enough guys don't really love playing in this tournament, but that's what we've come to on the PGA Tour, haven't we? That it's the have and the have not. Some tournaments, you see all the guys. Other tournaments, you see virtually none of them.
Right. And I was mentioning that to some of the guys at the club yesterday. I was holding up pictures. You know, you punch up on PGAtour.com, the leaderboard, and it shows the pictures of the guys. You can get to their profile and all that. I was showing pictures of guys in the top 10. And the guys that I was showing the pictures to, they didn't know any of those guys.
No.
They weren't. They're golfers. But, I mean, they're casual fans. You know, they're not, diehard fans, but they're casual fans. But, I mean, they can name some guys, you know. Like even Charlie Hoffman. The guys knew Charlie Hoffman. But, I mean, he's on the other side. Yeah, I mean he's over the hump on his career and he'll be on the senior tour here pretty soon.
Right.
Charlie's 48, isn't he?
I think so.
Charlie's about 48,
Played well in the desert last week.
He did play well, but then he kind of faded toward the end.
At,
Yeah, RP, so. RP is tied for 117th in the tournament right now at two over. Our buddy Ryan Palmer.
He usually plays well at that tournament.
Yeah.
Now, he played well last week in the first two rounds, and then he was explaining that to these guys at lunch yesterday, too. I mean, some guys, they get to a point in their game and their career where they don't really feel like, deep down, they don't feel like they're competitive. So they figure out a way to go. He went from tied to 11th after two rounds to tied for 34th. He finished the weekend in three under on Saturday and one over on Sunday. So he had a terrible weekend. But I'll promise you, when he goes to the Champions Tour next year,
he'll burn it up.
He will. Oh, yeah. He will burn it because he's going to feel competitive again.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll be one of the longest hitters. He'll be refreshed. He'll be playing. God, look at all these guys. These guys are in their 60s. I ought to be able to kill them. His career will be rejuvenated for sure.
Yeah, he's one of our favorite people to have on too and talk to. He's fun. He's a great golfer. He's got a lot of distance. You're right. Let me ask you this, Steve. Since you grew up out there, I mean, what was it like when you would go out there as a kid in the old days? Were you starstruck? I mean, because the big names that we know of were all playing golf, as well as all the celebrities in this thing.
Well, even back then, it's been a long time since I lived there. But when I was growing up, let's say in the early 80s, when I was in college, I'd go out there and watch, and all of the big names were out there. Greg Norman was out there. Bill Rogers had just won in 81. I guess he just won the British Open.
Yeah.
All of the top guys were playing because the purses are not even as close to what they are now. They had to travel, you know, and play 25, 26 weeks just to make a living. Because they got to see all the great players.
Yeah.
Would come to all parts of the country nowadays. I mean, Rory McIlroy's not there, is he? Then with the dilution of the live players not being there, you know, missing guys like Dustin Johnson and, you know, I mean, John Rahm, just the players that you recognize, even the Sergios, who's on, you know, the last parts of his career. The talent, I can't say the talent has gone down, but the recognizable names have sure been diluted.
Yeah, on the PGA Tour, absolutely. And that's been part of the problem in our discussions about TV money and what NBC and CBS and whomever are going to do, because those contracts are coming up. And those contracts were based, you know, as you well know, Tim, viewership.
Yeah.
You know, how many eyes and ears do we have on this? And because of this change and losing those big draw names, big name draws. Yeah, big name draws. Should say it that way. Hello, a little dyslexic. Let me back into this. I went to Ole Miss. Never went to class though. Great school. They're losing those names, so the viewership's gone down. Now, here's the kicker on some of this, too. With these new contracts coming up, and I know I'm switching gears here for a minute, but Liv and Fox just announced their marriage, and that is a huge, huge blow to, I think, to the tour and to the tour's negotiations with the big networks, don't you?
Yeah. I think if they can get some more exposure, because as I said, Frank, before when we were talking in the first segment, that very few people get to watch. I mean, because not that many people, and we're talking golf fans that are still mostly older. We don't really go on our computers to watch stuff. I know kids do, younger people.
Now, you could watch it on cable. The CW had
phones.
The CW had
it. I know, but I'm saying it's not like it's that accessible necessarily. Yeah. You still got to find the CW. Most don't watch. I mean, I couldn't tell you what else is on the CW, right? So it's tougher. But if they got the Fox thing, you're right. That changes it.
Yeah, that's a big game changer, big time.
Hey, by the way, Steve, you're talking about, you watched it as a kid, and I thought it was a car company back in the day, sponsor. It was the Isuzu, Andy Williams. You guys remember?
Oh, okay,
Isuzu.
There you go. And I think Buick did it too, I think.
And then Buick came in in the late 80s. Yeah, Buick came in the late 80s through the 90s up until Farmers.
Isuzu, so, yeah, that went the way of
remember
the
that, Isuzu.
Bird.
What was the guy's name? Joe Isuzu? Remember that commercial?
Yeah.
Joe Isuzu was the guy? Yeah. Are we dating ourselves?
You know,
just
big time, big time. You need to we've been called dinosaurs on social media. You know that. So,
a little bit.
You know, I can go to hell.
Well, you mentioned about the, you know, the negotiations and TV time and all that. I mean, other than the majors, regular season golf, in-season golf is really just a background TV now. I mean, it's not.
It is.
It's not like I mean, I turn it on.
I listen to the broadcast, the radio broadcast.
You know.
Yeah. I turn up 4C and crew. Yeah. 4C and crew. Really? I turn those boys up and listen to Doug and 4C and all them. Zacchino.
Mm-hmm.
Love. It's exciting to listen to Zacchino. He sounds like he's going to have an aneurysm any second when he's calling. He just goes crazy, and so does Doug Bell.
Yeah,
but
I think you're right, though, Steve. It has become kind of, you know, something to have on while you're doing other things, and I don't think that's a good spot for it either, because it's not like I do the same thing with, you know, college football or NFL or whatever my other passion sports are that I want. I don't turn that on as background things. I turn on, right. I want to watch it. Right, I want to watch the games that are happening. And yet golf has kind of, and maybe that's part of it because it's a slower pace. You know, there's not a, you miss a shot, you're not going to see it again kind of thing. But you do have to notice if it's the bigger name players, if Scotty's playing and all the big guys are playing and Rory, and it's coming down to the, and more, I think it's a have and a have nots in golf, right? You either have a tournament with those guys in it and hoping that those guys make it to Sunday and you get some drama, or it becomes what we're talking about now with the Farmers. I'm not compelled to really making a date, if you will, to watch this weekend and go, oh, make sure I don't want to miss that one because I sure don't want to miss those big name players. But no, that's not the way
right.
it is. You know, so, you don't even think about
So, I mean, you know, they changed the format of the significance of the events, not excluding the majors, but they've got these special events now. Is Pebble Beach next week a special event?
Yes. Signature, and then it's a signature event. AT&T Pebble Beach is signature.
After that's a special event.
Yeah.
Scotty Scheffler hadn't teed it up yet.
No.
And part of that's his injury. Yeah, and then both of them had injuries though, right? I mean, both Speed's coming off his elbow surgery, which he thinks.
and Scotty,
how long does it take for it? Your hand to heal up from a little splinter of
I don't know what
glass.
It meant. Yeah,
come
I mean,
on, you break glass all the time.
did they not say that they thought that Scheffler was going to come back when they announced that he was going to miss Hawaii, because I think he was planning on going to Hawaii? I thought they said he was coming back for the Farmers, but maybe they said Genesis. Only a couple weeks he was going to be
Genesis.
Off and now it's,
where's Genesis going to be now? Where are they going to play it?
Well, no, but they're not going to play.
They can't play Riviera. Hell, California's burned up, and it's on fire again right now.
They're talking about returning and going back to Torrey Pines.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, really?
Going back to Torrey Pines.
Well, that'd
Genesis.
Be good.
Yeah, because everybody's going to be out in that general area, so they're saying they could do that. Uh-huh. I think, and there was one other option. They said either Torrey Pines. They also said, I think it might be Phoenix back-to-back, right? Because does Genesis come right after Phoenix?
Genesis is right after Phoenix. So
yeah, that they'd keep. Right. They might keep them there.
If they do that, I'm going to go out there. I'll go out
two straight weeks in Phoenix, maybe too. That they would do, which would probably make a lot of sense. In all honesty, right? You got it all set up. You got bleachers and all that. So, yeah, I think. By the way, Steve,
that does make sense.
We brought up the fires. Any of that affect any of your family, people you know, anything else in Southern California?
My brother lives kind of. He lives a little bit east of Laguna Beach. And so that's not quite that far south, but I'm sure they're getting the ash and they're getting the smell.
Yeah.
But I saw the other day that some fires have started in San Diego County as well. So, I mean, I can remember growing up that we had controlled burns all the time. And then you could see where the fire department had gone in there and scraped roads for equipment to get in and all that on a consistent basis. And unfortunately, the leadership, the political leadership out in California over the last number of years has gotten away from that. I mean, it's sad. It's sad. It's hard to believe that this guy, Gavin Newsom, is going to be able to recover from that. I mean, it's just absolutely.
We can certainly hope he doesn't.
Derelict of duty.
He's not a leader. He doesn't need to be.
At some point, you have to be. Somebody's got to be accountable, right? I mean, at some point, they can't just keep passing the buck and people. But you know what?
Like the mayor of
LA.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But at some point, citizens have to own it as well to say we keep electing these people.
That's
to
good
do
point.
The things that aren't. And they're not accountable, and then we reelect them, and then we put them back in, and you're like, okay, well, then I guess you get what you deserve, because that's who you think you want to put in there. I have no idea why that keeps happening, but they keep doing it. And by the way, they're saying, Frank, as you were saying, new fires are cropping up. I mean, it's
Bel-Air,
like you kind of thought they were
being,
done.
It's after Bel-Air right
new,
now.
Yeah, now new big fires that are
coming. I tell you what,
I'm
thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for you guys because you – you get guests based on meritocracy, not by DEI, which is great.
Oh God, we're not going to go.
We
down
have
that.
You on. Steve,
we're not going down that
mom.
Rabbit hole. No. I'm very happy
hey,
right
way,
now, though. So
did you, Steve, staying with the fires for just one more second? Do those Santa Ana winds that are so responsible as far as that goes, the winds blowing fires from one spot to another and on, do those go all the way down to San Diego, or you guys don't have those winds?
Oh, yeah. They'll go all the way into Mexico. When the wind is coming off of the desert, it's not only that the wind is coming from a different direction, and you'll see if they have Santa Ana winds this week at Torrey Pines, you'll see the waves. They'll show the waves, and the waves will have the mist coming off the top. And that's the offshore breeze is a Santa Ana breeze, and it produces tremendous waves, but it gets so dang dry. I mean, the air is coming right off the desert, and I can remember that when I was a kid.
Yeah,
it's brutal. They have 50 to 60 mile an hour winds today out there, so it's stoking those fires. So
I feel. I mean, as much as you can, you know, we can complain about leadership and all that or lack of, the area that was affected in Southern California and Malibu and all up and down. It's just such a beautiful area. If you ever drive or down there for any reason, and even if you don't live there, to see it all just now look like a war zone and a nuclear explosion is just so sad, because it's not going to be back to where it was for years. It's not like you can regrow all the trees and everything else that got knocked out, as well as
here's the big thing, Tim, with that. You're talking about building back, especially on the Pacific Coast Highway. The houses there were built to a different code level than codes are today. And a lot of the people had them insured but didn't have full replacement insurance on that and probably couldn't get it, okay?
You can't, yeah.
Yeah, you can't get full replacement like I had. You know, when my house got hit by that tornado, I had full replacement. Right. So they had to, it didn't matter. They had to fix it.
Right.
So a lot of those people won't be able to rebuild, because a $5 million home or $7 million home is going to cost 14. They're saying it's to rebuild now.
Right.
So one advantage you'll see is you'll be able to see the ocean driving down the Pacific Coast Highway now.
Those houses.
To your point, Frank, it will take a long time to rebuild because some friends, some members here at Vaquero.
Oop, you dropped out.
Howie.
Steve, you dropped out for a minute.
The members did what?
The Century Tournament of Champions, some members here at Vaquero Club went to the Century Tournament of Champions a couple weeks ago. And I asked them, I said, hey, did you guys go through Lahaina? And they said, yeah. I said, how's the redevelopment going there? He says, you wouldn't believe it. We've only saw one house being built. So it is going to take a ton of time. Wow. That was 2 years ago. That Lahaina got hit by that fire.
Same thing, totally wiped
floods
out too.
And storm. Yeah.
Those people didn't have. That was an area that they didn't have. They don't have the money to rebuild, most likely, and out there. But you know, I don't.
But
know.
It was the same thing. It was scorched earth, right? It went all the way to the coast.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
it went right to the water's edge with all those businesses and tourism, restaurants and everything just burned to the ground.
It's
so
really sad.
Malibu and all that. I just can't imagine how that's gonna. It's going to, in our lifetime, ever look the way it does. I mean, at some point, it might get back there, but boy, it's going to be. And your point, too, Frank, are they going to allow them to? I mean, they built houses that you're kind of going, I don't know if you should build a house there, but they seemed like they would somehow work around it and put a house on stilts, on cliffs,
hanging over each other and everything else.
I'm wondering now if they're going to say, we can't even let you do that anymore because that's going to fall out.
Our president's going to go out there and sit down with Newsom again and tell him the funding from the federal government, here's what's going to happen. Mark my words. They're going to tie it to great specific forestry management. He's going to have to. You can't just throw billions of dollars every 4 to 5 years out there at those people if they don't
fill the reservoirs and do the things.
Fill the reservoirs, clean out the forest, do proper forestry management. That's all they have to do.
It's mind-boggling.
And it at least will mitigate a lot of that.
Yeah. So how that wasn't done. I mean, just sad as can be. Hey, we're joined by Steve Johnson, director of golf at Vaquero Golf Club in the Dallas Fort Worth area. Stevie Ray, you were talking too about, or we were talking about the LIV and the PJ Tour merge, not merge, whatever's going on. And I know you don't know much more than anybody else, just because you're a hot instructor and you think you're really good.
But at a high end country club, million dollar membership.
You make $1 million.
I don't know much about it, but I'm not opposed to making news up either.
Okay, good. Go ahead.
What do you think's going to happen?
We've got a formidable third prong to that. I mean, what about the TGL?
What about that's viable?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. But
that's if you will.
Yeah, it does take eyeballs. You know, I'm not sure it's going to add any more eyeballs to the PGA Tour or to the LIV, but it does take eyeballs away from Tuesday night for an hour, I guess.
Yeah.
God, is that boring?
I think they'll get it right. I had a conversation with someone this morning about that who works for Tiger. They'll get it
when
right.
When Tiger Woods is playing, it's a whole different deal.
Oh, yeah. Hey,
Woods didn't play this week. Tiger Woods wasn't playing this week.
Right.
I mean, it was Billy Horschel and, Fitzpatrick and Cantlay. It was boring.
Did Patrick wear a hat? We won't go there. We know that story. Yeah, it was. It was kind of boring. That's what we talked about this morning, my friend and I. We talked about the fact that the interaction, they've got to get more interaction and get somebody out there that's like a Faraday type guy that's hanging out with them and standing there after you hit the shot, go, my God, what were you thinking? But they also have to fix the algorithms in that software, because there's something off on some of that. There's something going on.
I mean, it's nice to see. There was a local guy here that used to be on the radio local here that got a job with ESPN. I'm glad he's doing well. Matt Barry has really come a long way in being a host and a commentator and all that stuff. He's done well for himself. Frank, Tim will tell you, he may not tell you on the air, but he'll tell you that you can only take so much of David Faraday. It gets old.
Some people feel that way.
I think, but his point is, there needs to be somebody who's got some natural personality. Golf does not foster that. You don't have. There's very few. There's a reason Charles Barkley.
This is your younger audience.
I'm just saying, there's a reason Barkley's used on golf events, because they don't have enough golfers or former golfers to do what Barkley does. So they use him, even though he's a horrible golfer, because that's the entertainment value. I don't know. You've got to find somebody outside of the world of golf. You can't keep thinking that Kevin Kisner is a dynamic personality to put on TV and go, hey, this guy's, and you're like, no, he's not. He's wood chips.
Need a Lee Trevino. Trevino type.
I'm just saying, go outside the world of golf. They kind of, and I get that the guy has to have some idea about golf.
I've got it. But Andrew Dice Clay.
Something like that.
Well,
Dickory
Dock. No. God, no.
I don't know if he could contractually do it, but Cole Knost is got some good personality. He knows golf. He knows the guys. He can talk to them like a player.
Yep.
He would be darn good.
Yeah, he would be good.
But he signed a CBS deal, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's still doing CBS.
I know he's got a contract with another network.
Yes.
But I mean, they've tried Justin Leonard, they've tried all the
Leonard's not.
These guys are just not. But that's like, it's like the best of what you got, the best of the group that you're trying, and they're like, okay. So I don't know how they do that. I don't know how they spice it up or do something. But now you're trying to say, okay, now we're doing the indoor golf thing in the Tiger Woods video game golf to try to appeal to 25-year-olds and 32-year-old guys mostly. And you're like, but they also want to be entertained. You know, they don't want to just see golf shots and think that, oh, there you go. And you got to find somebody who entertains those guys. I mean, seriously, it's almost like you've got to get, I'm making this up, but like a stand-up comedian. No, I'm just saying like a stand-up comedian, somebody who's funny, who's engaging, because the golf expertise to me.
A Don Rickles attitude.
Is secondary, right? It's like Charles Barkley. No, he doesn't know the inside scoop of being a professional golfer, but he can say stuff that makes you laugh and chuckle and text your friends. That's what they're looking for. Somebody that makes you do that. And that's what they have to find, even if it's a non-golf.
Yeah.
And that's what they keep going down the same road of, who's got a few majors? Let's get Paul Azinger.
No, that's not going to work. Who was the guy out of Houston on the TV station there in Houston forever, back in the 80s, I guess? That was Marvin, what was his name? He was the guy who exposed the barn.
Best Little Whorehouse.
Yeah, he exposed them. Marvin Ziegler or no?
Ziegler. Yeah, I think you're right.
Marvin Ziegler. Yeah. Somebody like that. Somebody with a big personality.
But I mean, to your point, it's almost like you've got to go to Hollywood, right, and find an actor / comedian, kind of somebody. Because to what you're saying, Steve, and I agree, enough Faraday is enough. Even if you're Faraday, at some point, he tries too hard to be the stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
You know, he tries to make up phrases and terms and whatever to sound like the clever, witty, and then he tries to top himself every time they come back, and it's hard. You're either naturally a funny guy or you're not, and you try to just force it down people's throats. So I think, the broadcast team of Peter Costas and on and on, it's just not going to work.
Gary McCord.
Yeah, it's just not going to...
Not anymore.
No. Not going to happen. You know, you've got to find... Get away from the golf people, necessarily, and find entertainment.
Well, that's what Liv did, I mean, Sue Ann and with Dom and all those folks. So they do have, Faraday in the studio, or studio, if you will. He's at the tournament, but they're in the booth or the trailer. But anyway.
Yeah. He's up in the tower. But, I mean, it tells you how they're trying so hard. They took... Smiley Kaufman, and are trying to make Smiley Kaufman into the course side entertainment.
I don't get that.
Where they got him set up in a little booth, and the guys come. I'm like, oh god, if I have to listen to any more of that.
Who is Fox gonna put in there now? Who is Fox? What team is Fox gonna use? Are they gonna still use the Faraday and Foltzy and? No.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if they're gonna go with the current Liv people. Maybe. I guess. I mean, I guess Liv.
I'm gonna say just what I said to the guys at SiriusXM Radio on the broadcast. We need more Tim Matthews is what we need.
hey, don't forget your friend Frank.
That'll do.
Frank's got to pay the bills too.
Tim Matthews he's a proven quantity. He did a great job out there too.
He did do a good job out there. He really did. Yeah. That's right. I don't want to be on the course. I want to be the funny guy.
Yeah.
Well, that would be good. I want to be on the range interviewing the players before they go play, or after they come off the course after shooting 7 over.
That'll be fun. And I know we're kind of beating on a dead horse here, but even if we look at those made for TV events, what do they call them, Frank? What are the ones we see with Tom Brady and
Mannings, the
and
matches, else? The match,
the matches, yeah. right? The match.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are supposed to be for that reason, right? Those are dry as hell. And I guess there's a part of golf that is non-action. There's so much non-action that I don't know what you do, but that's where you've got to fill those gaps.
So is football.
Video games, whatever. Well, there's not that much non-action in football. I mean, you got 30 seconds. In golf, you hit a shot, you get in your cart or you start walking, it's 5 minutes before they hit another shot.
Well, that's true.
It's not 30 seconds.
Okay, I've got an idea. I mean, I've had two ideas this season.
Here we go.
Wow. I was the first one 6 months ago to say Deion Sanders was going to be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
You did
say
that.
That may not happen.
I can't say.
But you did say.
Okay, so here's my second one, and I like this one too. This would be good for both parties. It would be good for golf, and it would be good for him. I think they ought to attract Phil Mickelson. Would be a hell because he loves to talk. He's got a good on-air personality. And he can fill the gaps.
But so what?
He'll tell you. Hey, this is why this guy is hitting this shot.
No, no, I totally.
He's trying to avoid this and that. I mean, he would be great.
He would be. I agree.
I don't
with
disagree,
that.
But you're not. How are you going to get him off the golf course? He's going to make millions playing golf.
He's still. Almost. He's done. He's done.
He's done. I think
the
he's
champions.
Done.
I mean, he had a three.
He had a 3-year contract. He got paid a ton of money. Do you think Liv is going to say, "Hey, you know what? We really need Phil for another 3 years"?
Well, no. maybe he will be one of the Fox guys.
I mean, I would be all for it. I'm just saying, I think he still thinks he's got, and he's proven he's past 50, played pretty darn well. So I don't know that he's ready to move into the booth. But if he does, I don't know.
I'm just trying to think. Okay, I'm trying to think. If that were my, if I were in charge of Fox, who would I try to get? And
well,
I tell you what, he would
Bill.
Bring eyeballs. His commentary would bring eyeballs. It would be more than just background TV.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. I agree. Yep,
that's true.
Because Phil, I meant that seriously, though, Frank. I mean, Phil does not mind hurting some people's feelings, right? He says what he thinks, and he's kind of got the Johnny Miller part of it that, yes, you're going to get somebody going, "Oh, I heard about this," and they're gonna tweet that they didn't like. And I don't think Phil's going to give a damn. Phil's going to be like, "Yeah, well,
no,
I
don't care. He won't
care. Stop doing it." So, which is what you need as an announcer, right? What you don't need is a vanilla announcer who doesn't want to ruffle any feathers and say anything, too concerned. So, I think Phil, and maybe you got to do a Tom Brady deal, right? If Fox comes to him like they went to Brady and said, "Hey, when you're done, we got $370 million for 10 years sitting here for you." Wouldn't be the same numbers, but if they said to Phil, "We got $100 million for the next 10 years, next 6-5 years, whatever it might be, for you to do the broadcast." Bill might go, "That's a nice way to move down my career. I got a guaranteed salary coming in for that kind of money, maybe." And that would be good.
His kids,
I mean, he's got the name,
his
but
kids
he's also
will be in college. His kids will be in college or out of college. It's just going to be him and his wife.
Got time on his, time
I mean,
on his
I,
hands.
I think, I think it makes sense.
Okay. Great. Well, maybe you got something there.
Who is his
agent?
He
didn't quite hit it with Dion, but maybe you got something there.
I never saw that coming. Not Deion Sanders at Dallas. No.
Well, he did interview.
He did.
He interviewed
Jerry. He didn't technically, Steve, he didn't interview. Jerry just said he talked to him, but not an official interview, just talked to him. And mostly, if you know Jerry, he did that, and Deion themselves, they both did that just so they could get in the headlines and people would say, "Oh, you guys are talking," because they both love that. They can't, I don't think, coexist in the same room, much less the same city. So, yeah.
Well,
it does
increase his value. It increases his value at Colorado, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's why a lot of those guys, Steve Sarkisian just got another new deal in Texas because there was rumors that he might talk to some NFL teams, and what they do is they quickly go, whoa, hey, Steve, how much would it, and they give another $1 million or whatever. So, yeah, Deion will play that. Yep. But here's the other thing, is that Deion has said that he would only coach in the NFL, no matter where, Cowboys or anything, if his son was the quarterback. So he's trying to make almost a package deal. If you want me, draft Shadur, my quarterback's son, and then we'll both come there. And nobody's going to take that deal. Nobody's going to say, we'll take you and take your son. And you also don't, I don't know who would want that guy as your quarterback, Shadur, not because of his talent, but because of Deion. Because Deion has openly said, "I am not going to let him go to any team. I'm not going to let him do the things that he's going to so interfere with that team and their concept of what they're doing with his son, that the coach is just going to be rolling his eyes going, who are we listening to? Why is Deion on the phone every day talking to the owner about what we're doing with his son?" What a headache it would be to have
that
Deion
would be a pain in
the
ass.
The father of your quarterback. Oh my God. Cause he openly admitted
stage mom.
Goes, well,
it's that stage
not,
mom.
Yeah,
crap.
It's going to be, he said, "I am a helicopter dad. He's my son." I'm and like, okay, that's all I need to know. So I got to deal with you now. Every time we don't throw the ball enough, we're going to get a phone call from Deion. So I think that's a whole other thing. But let's go back to the Phil thing. I think that's a good
idea.
When's it take over, Frank? I mean, when's Fox kick off this year?
Yeah. Yes.
25?
Yes.
It does. Wow. I want to see that.
It's going to be good.
See? I mean, I'm going to go work on that deal.
You're going to be his impromptu agent.
I'm going to call his agent right now and tell him.
Well, if they got to get a golf guy.
Get going on that.
Phil's as good as anybody.
I would imagine those conversations are already taking place.
Yeah.
I bet you.
If you want to make an impact, you got to go outside that box. But Phil, as a golfer, might be the only one that would actually attract, because Smiley Kaufman and Kevin Kistner aren't bringing any eyeballs to their broadcast.
That doesn't do it for me. It doesn't do it for me, that's for sure.
It does it for me when I want a nap on Saturday.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Then I
Oh, I turn around and watch
being
Smiley.
Mean. I mean, you know, they're decent guys. Saying, jeez.
I'm not, what, is Smiley Kaufman going to call? Complain about us?
Probably not.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I do want to see Jordan
Spieth,
though.
My phone's ringing. No.
I do want to see Jordan Spieth, Steve, back out. I don't know what happened with
yes,
his surgery.
Yes, so do I.
I want to see what he did. I'm hoping he got it fixed. Because you've always said he's got a little hitch in his giddy-up, right? And that swing is a little...
Well, I mean,
it had, everything had to sync up perfect.
He's got some issues with his technique, no doubt about it. I mean, they've been trying hard to fix him, but if he can just putt like he did his first couple of years on tour, everything takes care of itself.
Yeah. You can miss a lot of fairways and still get those birdies.
Yeah. Like 20-footers all day?
This kid, Noah Goodwin, was a kid that used to take lessons from Hank Haney's team out at Vista Ridge here in Dallas. Really small kid. I mean, he was tiny. He's one of the kids, you know, that took the growth hormone and all that stuff to get bigger. He's done a hell of a job. He's had a good amateur career.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think he's going to be a good golfer.
I think so.
Hope he does well this weekend.
He's been a Corn Ferry guy, you know, he's been trying. I think, I mean, heck, he got out of SMU 10 years ago, maybe, Steve, something like that. Been a while.
He's at least maybe 5 years ago at SMU,
Yeah, and, you know, been trying to hit a lot of different Latin tours and everything else to try to
find
his niche. But, yeah, and final word with you, Steve. Is it going to be another year for Scotty? Can Scotty keep doing what he's been doing, or is Tiger the only guy in our – last 25, 50 years that can do it
glass.
Consistently.
I mean, he's got to go plastic or styrofoam cups from now on.
I'm a styro guy.
That's the only thing that's going to hold him back.
Got to go with bamboo.
I think the best part of his game is his mental. Yeah. And he's got that. And that's Jack Nicklaus always said it took a career to get your confidence and it took a weekend to lose it. But I mean, he's pretty dang solid.
Yeah, he is. He does.
I like him. I like him this year, too. If he ever starts, I mean, hopefully he's going to start here pretty soon.
He'll get there. Yeah. I mean, if you're him, you're counting your money still, right? I mean, what did you make last year, Frank? 60, 70 million?
Yeah, a little over 70.
Jeez. You know what? I bet you that doesn't motivate him.
I don't think so either.
It's just like Jordan Spieth. I think he just wants to be the best golfer he can be.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Once you get to a certain point of money in the bank, it's easy.
How much more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you're working to pay the utility bill, it's not so easy.
But a lot of guys, when they get enough money in the bank, they lose their motivation to grind.
Practice, yeah.
Right.
Jordan Spieth and Scottie Scheffler are not that way. I think Justin Thomas is very similar to that. The money is not motivating them. It's just they want to be – they've got some goals to set in golf. And until they set those goals, the goals don't have anything to do with money. They have to do with, I mean, I'm not sure what they have to do with, but I know it's not money.
Yeah.
So, well,
once you have enough of it, it's kind of
that's right.
Secondary. All right, Steve, we appreciate
money doesn't motivate me at all.
No.
That's the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Steve, let us know when you get
guys,
with Phil and work that deal.
I will do.
Can you let us know? Yeah. Give us a call when that happens.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks,
Steve. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you, as always. Yep.
Stay warm.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, buddy. See ya.
Steve Johnson, Director of Instruction at the Vaquero Golf Club. And, he's talking about the weather. It has been chilly in Dallas. So it's supposed to be warming up, but kind of interesting, man. He had 8 guys yesterday. I mean, I live here, too.
Well, he's also, facility has heaters and all sorts of stuff in it, so.
Just saying, I don't want to take a golf lesson when it's 40 degrees.
No. God. Unless they warm up my balls first.
So to speak.
Whatever, you know.
Wow. You might have to say goodbye on that
Lulu's one. Lulu's Bang Bang Club. I have no idea.
They better warm my balls up if I'm going to take lessons. Well, did I hear that right?
Yeah, you did. Yep, you did.
Hey, on that one. You want to find a nice, warm golf club? Invited Clubs, the place for you. Go to invitedclubs.com, formerly Club Corp. Our good friends there at Invited Clubs. Luckily for us, they're our sponsor. We love them, and you'll love them too. They have clubs all over the country, more than 250 clubs, and go to their website, click on there, find a place near you, and get out and try them out, because once you get privileges at one of their courses, you've got privileges all over the country at invitedclubs.com.
And remember, PXG
as well, friend.
New mini driver. That's all I got to say, because we got to get out of here. But PXG, check out their new mini driver and the Allen putter. That's all I'm saying right now.
PXG.com. All right, we are done. Thanks to Steve Johnson for joining us. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. We appreciate each and every one of you, and remember to join us next time right here for Golf Talk America.